I'd like to have an opportunity for you to meet together, introduce your name to each other, especially to those you do not know. Okay? Say hello to those you do not know. Tell them, tell him or her, your name. Greetings to each other. Find someone you do not know. Do not know his name or her name. Say greetings and say, how are you? My name is what? Find someone I do not know. I do not know names. When you start to know someone, the first thing you know, you try to know is his name or her name. And so coming to worship, we must know who God is. We must know our God about who he is. So today, and this year, the theme for the church is connecting to Jesus. And our main passage would be on John 15, verse 1 through 7. And as you see the picture, that it shows what Jesus said. He said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the wine dresser. So you have different version of the Bible. You may have different terms for Father. My Father is the gardener, as an NIV version says. Anyway, it mentions that Jesus is the vine, and verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I am in him, he will bear fruit, much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the men focus is to connect to Jesus Christ. Our life connect to him, then we will have fruit, and good fruit. Not only good fruit, and more good fruit. So, this is the theme for this year of Comfort Community Church. And today, I'm going to start from the very beginning. Jesus says, I am. I am is a term Jesus used the most in the Gospel of John. And there are two categories. One is just pure I am. And the other is they have some descriptive terms afterwards. It's I am the true vine, like this, or I'm the good shepherd, I'm the way, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, yes. And I'm the resurrection. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the light. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door to the sheep. So that they are this kind of descriptive statement. So what the meaning of the meaning of I am, the original Greek is ego eimi, and which is I am. So when Jesus said I am, it means I am. It's an emphasis. It's a name only the true God will use. And the first time when God used it is in Exodus, in Old Testament. when God heard the Israelites crying in Egypt for their suffering under the bondage or tyranny of Pharaoh, God answered them by sending Moses. Moses was in the wilderness of Midian as a shepherd, and there God appeared to him and wanted him to be the leader to lead Israelites. So he was in the wilderness and he saw a bush, a burning bush. But the bush was not burnt out. The bush was still there, but shining with fire. So the Lord God said to him, "I have indeed seen this misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of Egyptians and to bring them up out of the of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Lites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God directly spoke to Moses, and Moses' answer was, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He must have forgotten. He forgot. He was raised up. He was educated in the palace. And he knew the language. He knew all the details of being a leader. He was raised under the princess. So he has all the language, all the knowledge, all the ways to connect to visit Pharaoh. But he said, "Who am I?" That's a refusal. That's something he did not acknowledge who God is, even though he is facing the true God. So verse 12, God says, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?'" Inevitably, he wants to have some solid relationship with God. And the solid relation assurance that he may use to tell all the other Israelites. He does not want to have another accident happen about 40 years ago. Remember, he killed some Egyptians because that Egyptians oppressed his countrymen, the Israelites, and killed them. And so, I'm not quite sure. Though the main point is, he was not asking God when he had that action, try to protect his people. He acted out as what his knowledge was, but without a connection to God, without acknowledging that God must have some mission for him, and he just did that by himself. So he ran away into the place where he is now in the wilderness as a shepherd. And now God spoke to him. Give him a sign. Give him some assurance. But when the people go and they follow you, that's my sign to you. That is, when you, this is for us the same principle. When we obey, when we follow, you will see God's blessing on the way. You know God is with you. Sometimes beforehand we say, "God, I would like to know something. But That answer is a rebellious answer. This answer here, Moses has all the trainings he has all the know-how he could go, but he just refused. He wants the name. That's good, because this is the beginning of God's revelation to him. Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. The original Greek is ego and eni. I am. I am is the name of the only true God. When the first time he introduced himself to human beings, that's to Moses. And to us, today, we understand that is a term he's declaring God is the eternal God. God is the eternal God. That means eternally God is himself, self-existence. We are not self-existent. We must depend on something. We depend on time. We depend on location. We depend on our health condition. We depend on today, warmth. This morning when they came, about 5 o'clock, the wind was so strong, almost to the parking lot. I was pushed back by the strong wind. I said to Lord God, I want to prepare a sermon. I want to finish the PowerPoint. So it's over there. I stopped by the strong wind, and I prayed. Connection. Make connection to God. And then I can move forward. So for this reason, I just want to share with you that knowing God and his attributes and who he is essential for everyone. The more we know who God is, the more we know the I am God, the better that our attitude will turn to be. In fact, I would have exactly starting to pray right away. I would try to either bow down or turn back, walk backwards. But this morning, standing there, I just started to pray because I could not see either. Wind was so strong, I put on my raincoat. The raincoat had just pushed, almost turned around. So, you know, in all situations in your life, God wants us to have a direct relationship as Moses did. He had reservations. He had hesitations. He was not sure, so he asked, who are you? Lord God, tell me your name, so that when I tell those people, other people, they will know whom sent me. You are Lord God, you send me, let me know. So his self-existence, he is not created. He is eternal God. He always exists. I am who I am. I am that I am. Different versions has different translations. I am who I am, meaning more of the personal. I am that I am shows the assurance that is such a one. So, the only Jew, for Jew, they consider only God can use this term. I am that I am. I am who I am. I am. Ego, any. So when Jesus declared, I am, he showed that he's the eternal God, he's not created the same way. He is God, eternal God. The Lord God who sent Moses leading Israelites, leading Egypt, he's that God. So he, in New Testament, many times, especially in Gospel of John, showed he's the God that Moses met in the wilderness. That's in between more than 2,000 years. So that God was talking to Moses, and now Jesus uses this term. So for this reason, there's an important application that Hebrew verse 3, chapter 3 verse 8, Jesus, let's read this verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's read it again. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to remember Jesus never changed. He eternally lives. He is present. Even though now he is on the right hand of God, but he is present now. We have to recognize he's beyond the limit of time, beyond the location. So he is omniscient. He is past, future, and now. Revelation verse, chapter 1 verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So that, in the end of New Testament, again shows Christ Jesus is the beginning, is the end. He's both the beginning and the end. If I'm able to tell you, use language, it's hard to say, but mathematically, you can learn that the eternal line is a line both ends with arrow. With an arrow with a line means that line goes both directions. If you can answer the question, what the ending of both ends? What will be the ending of both ends of this kind of line? Maybe for younger children, do I know? But how about high school kids? Do you know? And a line with both ends of two arrows. What does that mean? Goes where? No end to is north. To north, no end to west, to south. Means eternal line. A line of eternity, you draw a line with two arrows to both ends. And if a line just ends there, you just draw a line. But mathematically, when you draw a line with two arrows on both ends. So, in use Bible as an illustration, this end, just a line, one end will be creation. God created words. The end will be Jesus Christ come. The end of the word. And if we have arrows before the word will be Ephesians chapter 1. Because Ephesians chapter 1 says, God gives us the blessing of eternity. That in eternal plan, God already chosen you and me. Prepare the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's a plan of salvation. Before creation, before the beginning of the earth. And the other end of the line, the arrow, after the arrow is what? New heaven and new earth. Jesus Christ is the eternal King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You and I, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we'll be all there. You and I, if we know God's plan, we'll be also, before the word in Ephesians chapter 1, we were all there. God knows us before we were. So, that's why 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. I hope I can make this easier for you. I do not have anything to show. This is when you draw a circle, what do? You use a compass, and one end you stick to it, and you the other end with pencil, and you draw a circle. Now I use this paper. This is the center, and if I use this part as the end part, draw a circle this way. Do you see that? So this circle would be much bigger than the circle here, correct? Yes. That here we spend shorter time, we see shorter time because we are near here, but God is far away. The eternity that we see shorter, but God, for God it's so I try to use this illustration to show you 2 Peter verse 3, chapter 8, verse 3, that they are relatively different in different locations, different angles. So for our angle, our life is short. For God, can be eternal. So this shows Jesus himself is God. He is eternal God, even though he becomes flesh, become human being, as you and I are limited in time and space. We are this hall. Maybe that thing is much taller, but still, compared to God, it is short. I'm sorry. But this is what 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 says. Time-wise, the same thing. That's why we know God, who he is, will help us to be humble, to be more obedient to God. John chapter 13 verse 3, Jesus said, there says, Jesus, knowing that God the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, so he washed feet for his disciples. They're all sufficient. They're all knowing God. The teacher humbled himself to serve his disciples, serve his students. Today we need to know this big, huge gap God and us have, but brought together by Jesus Christ. By knowing Jesus Christ, we will have the same kind of heart or internal space to accept God's abundance, to accept his vast love to us so that we may serve others. So this is the part that we learn to be more aware of who Jesus in his answer. Now, how about the answers from Jews? When the Jews heard Jesus answered, "I am," John chapter 8 verse 56 to 59. Scribes and the Pharisees came and asked, "Who are you? Who are you?" Not only disciples ask, not only Moses ask, Lord God asked, who are you? Those disciples, those who in Gospel of John especially, those people who are not happy with Christ, Jesus, they ask, "Who are you?" And the answer Jesus says, "Before Abraham I am. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was good." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, most absurdly, I said to you, before Abraham I was, I am. His answer doesn't make sense if from humanly speaking. Before Abraham was, I am. What kind of the grammar is that? Doesn't make sense unless he is what he's declared to be, the eternal God. I was shows his true identity as God. So Jews is bonded by what? Stoning him because he said the blasphemies. Because they consider only God can use the term, I am. That the term also appeared when John 18, verse 2 to 6. Judas betrayed him, also knowing the place for Jesus, for Jesus often met there with his disciples at Gethsemane, at the garden he prayed. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees came to there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all the things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Those who were there which were responded, and Judas, who betrayed him, also stood there with them. Now he said to them this, "I am he." They drew back and fell to the ground. You see, Jesus used "I am him." He used the term "I am, I am." I am. The response with from Judas and all or other the officers and the troops and Pharisees and priests, those with them, they all fell, drew back and fell down because Jesus used the term only God can use. Use the kind of term that shocked them. Jesus never withdrew his true identity. Jesus just showed who he is. Yet Judas, even though drew back and fell down, his heart already rebelled. His heart determined to betray Jesus. Continued, they stood up and arrested Jesus. I do not know if you see God is here. I'm sure I will fall down. Lord God, you are my God. I do not know about you. If God is here, with his statement, "I am God," that Jesus actually shows his divinity. He is God. He made that announcement. So that same statement also appeared at the judge in the trial. The high priest stood up to the stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing?" That was Mark 14. "What is this man testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus answered, "I am. You see the Son of Man sitting on the right, at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." The response came again. Then the high priest and tore his clothes and said, "What further need to do we have to do we have witnesses?" High priest indicated Jesus said the blasphemies. They understood Jesus' statement, "I am." This "I am" shows he is God. His internal power showed in this statement. His true identity showed he is God. But now the high priest and the rest of Jews all condemned him to be deserving of death. They want him to die. Now we want to have some conclusion. The Jews made this serious, always fierce reaction because, first, Jesus said he is eternal God for for Jew, they think only one God. There's only one God. They cannot accept God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The one true God is three in one. They cannot accept that. Nor could they understand Word of God came as flesh. They cannot accept Jesus came as flesh, as God in flesh. So, when Jesus said He is God, the truth of God, to Jew, the claiming Jesus Christ as God, the only true God, made a huge impact to their faith. They want to protect their own culture, their own religious system. And they want to continue. That's why Jesus Christ needs to be destroyed. They decided to put Jesus to die on the cross. For them, it's like that. But today, when we read this, Hebrews 11:6 is our response. This is a encouragement or exhortation that the writer of this letter to Hebrews gave. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a reward of those who diligently seek Him. This translation here in the middle. Who comes to the Lord must believe that He is. This He is in Greek is I am. Must believe that I am. When you read in English, that's not a correct English. This English translation now is an interpretation, not directly wordly literally translate. So we come to God as the God I am. So we must have faith on that I am, on the God I am. So as a person, it is impossible for me to please Him. I must have the knowledge of the I am, the God who I am, the God that I am. That's why this year we make focus on connecting to Jesus, the I am. That is declaration of God's self-existence and eternity. So, direct answer, the answer that Jesus shows His essence or His attributes of eternity, of self-existence, of that He is not created, He is God, He is omniscient, and He is powerful, He is all-powerful, He is all-knowing, so that we want to know His nature of God, being God. But in Gospel of John, they are also another seven their declaration with predicate with description. Yeah, sermon. The first one is, I am the bread of life. John 6, 35, 48, 51. Jesus, I am the bread of life. The bread or food is necessary for physical survival. Jesus Christ provide us not only our physical needs, as He was on the earth. He fed 5,000 men with other women and children, the five loaves of bread and the two fish. He has that power. But when He was on the earth, He cares more of people's spiritual condition. That's why He taught. He has good teaching. He gave us the teaching in the Gospels. And later on, his disciples, others, wrote New Testament. Altogether, Old Testament and New Testament give us the word that can lead us to know God, the who I am God. So believing Jesus, we have eternal belief. Jesus is the source of our life. That we trust him, we will continue to be fed, continue to grow, continue to be protected, continue to be strengthened in our spiritual relationship with him. That's why this year, Concord Community Church wants to have this theme, to connect with Jesus Christ. And John 8:12, Jesus said to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but have the light of life. And my wife says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light of spiritual enlightenment. Jesus applied the divine truth, enlightenment to enlighten human mind, heart and spirit, in the order that human beings may leave darkness and turn to light. We have several levels of darkness. Many times we have our knowledge reading the Bible, but spiritually we have a lot of darkness. We have a lot of blindness. Our desire drives us to choose different paths God wants us to follow. We do not have the obedience Jesus wants. That's how those Pharisees, the scribes, they know the Bible so well, but they deny Christ Jesus. Today, many of us will do that. That's why New Testament also says, knowledge will make people pride, includes the Bible knowledge. Only obedience and the love of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial love, will build us up. So, he is the light. We pray that God's light will show us our darkness, our iniquities, our stubbornness. And John 10:7-9, Jesus said to them that he's the door of sheep, and he's the door. So if anyone enters by Jesus, this person will be saved and will go in and out and find fat pasture. This is the only door that leads to God's Japan and be in the kingdom of God. And that means the door is the door of salvation. The door led to eternal life. The door that we come in and we'll stay under the protection and the leadership of Jesus Christ. And the number four, I am, is Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. That is, we know him, he knows us. We follow him, we know his voice. We know his teaching, we know how to obey Jesus Christ. Jesus loved us, he offered atonement for us, and he gave us his life. We know that all our iniquities are dealt with, but we need to apply that. Connecting to Jesus, make connection to Jesus is when we go to low point, we face challenges, when we fail, we need to always quickly come back to Jesus. But sometimes, many of us will say, oh, I'm not good enough. I've been there, I know that. But those didn't work. So why need I do anything further? I would just be here. I feel comfortable. I would do nothing. Come to church is good enough. Others don't come to church. Is that okay? No. You must grow. You must continue to be obedient. Otherwise, we'll become old. Old means not renewed. We become used to what we think, used to the pattern uses it, our head knowledge. Head knowledge will not keep us fresh. The refreshing strength comes from God, from Jesus. That's why number 5 says, Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. So, the Greek means, I am resurrection, I'm life. He gives us new life, the renewal life, the life we can be renewed by reading his word, by obey, by apply the atonement Jesus already made on the cross. By obedience, renew ourselves. So I pray and I want every one of us to have a renewed relationship every day with Jesus. When you read Bible, when you come to church, when you have Bible study, you have devotion, or when you listen to some devotional music, even, or reading some devotional material. When God reminds you, even you are walking on the street, that's like this morning, I walked, in the wind. If I stand there and hang on there, I just stop. Then I just stop there. But when I continue praying, that's making connection. So, the salvation is not past tense. The belief in the Bible, John 3:16, whoever believes in that, in Greek, that's present tense. That's actually in English is a continue, the present participle. Continue belief. You must continue your faith. You must ongoing belief. Do you follow that? It is not when you made the decision, when you being baptized, when last year, when December, when in the beginning of this year. No. Today is 13 already. So what happened last week doesn't count for today. What happened during your baptism doesn't count for today. Now is the time. Believe Jesus is resurrection. Means our life is always living in Christ Jesus. The ongoing, the present participle. It is not past. It's always ongoing. Put it this way. Hold your nose. No stress. Close your mouth. How long can you stay? Very short. That's the relationship we must have. The faith in Christ is like your breathing. In and out. You're always taking fresh air. That's the love of Christ, the word of God, and give out the youth, the no use CO2, carbon dioxide, the useless air in our body will destroy us. So your health needs to be refreshed. Your spiritual health, we need to be refreshed. So. That's why the number 6, Jesus said to them, to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the number 6 is actually saying, Jesus is the way. We must walk on the way. On the way, you should not stay there. Others would say, hey, move forward. We are always on the way to go, where? To the heavenly kingdom. To go to a deeper relationship with Christ Jesus. To be obedient in carrying on what the Bible says to us every day. We must go on. The way, the truth, only the Bible, the truth, will hold through all kinds of tests you may have this year. And the life. The life in Christ Jesus means we have a living faith, living, ongoing, refreshing relationship with God. Then, the last one will be the key verse today. John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser. This is a New King James Version. Or for NIV, it's gardener. A branch needs to be connected. We are connecting to Christ Jesus. So, in summary, the seven statements gives us a description that we know Jesus shows that he has authority. He has authority. He's God. He said, "I am." So I am the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth. I am. He is not like the Old Testament prophets. They must say, "The Lord God has said." He does say, "I am." Secondly, he used the first person to say, "I am." That means he has authority. He's the one. He has authority to give those statements. He has authority to show who he is. He revealed himself. But he is also the content of the revelation. That's why the Bible in the Old Testament predicts, prophesies his coming and his work, who he is, and his plan for us, for human beings. And New Testament recorded his life, recorded his work in the church, and the revelation showed his eternal purpose for us, for the church. So he is all the content of the revelation. That's why he is the Word became flesh. He has the attribute of God: eternity, self-existence, not changing, righteousness, kindness, love. All this attributes of his I am statement actually are the attributes of who God is. And the summary of this statement here says he's the life giver, he's the human savior, he's the revealer. So in him we need his nourishment every day faithfully. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, for Jesus is the I am. We thank you. Give us this blessing that Jesus continually, even today, shows us the I am, the eternal God in us. Assure us that our steps every day need to be renewed and refreshed and be strengthened, that we may have peace with you. Thank you, Lord God. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.